going on, everybody? Happy Thirsty Thursday. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets powered by FTN right here on Game Plus Network, also live on our FTN Network YouTube page. Chris Meany here with you. Hopefully everybody's having a fantastic Thursday. We got Mr. Brian Cook in the house. He's going to hang out with me for quite some time. I don't know if he knows that, but I'm going to make him hang out with me for a majority of this show here today. We are going to lock in our divisional picks against the spread. I know that I will. There's been a lot of questions about one and done, and we've talked about strategy throughout, seeing some people reach out to me. If you guys have any questions at all, you want just a little bit of a chat back and forth, the DMs are open. You can slide on in at Chris Meany on the Twitter machine. Also, meanstreetsftn@gmail.com. Of course, if you're hanging out with us live during the show, you can leave a comment in the comment section. If you're watching on Game Plus Network, you can hop on over to our FTN Network YouTube page, leave a comment there. I'm always circling back on these videos to make sure I take care of the family, because certainly appreciate all the support here from those over at Anthem Sports Entertainment, Game Plus Network, and also the FTN Network family. We are going to break down all four games here today. We've been doing it all week. Tomorrow we have Joe Pizzapia of Fantasy Pros to do it one more time. He's also the man behind the Fantasy Black Book, so we'll have a little bit of baseball chatter tomorrow as well. But today, we are going to preview these four games. We got Super Bowl odds. We got MVP odds. We're going to talk one and done. We'll get Brian's strategy for one and done. Things that we've been talking about with this one and done strategy is, for me personally, I will be looking at teams that I don't think will win this week. I don't give the Jacksonville Jaguars much of a chance. I mean, I talked about potential backdoor cover. Andy Reid, 28-5 after a bye. Patrick Mahomes, 9-1 after a bye, averaging 30 points. The Jags are in a tough spot. It's a nice story. You know, Trevor Lawrence, brutal first half, great second half, up-and-coming quarterback. We're going to see this dude in the playoffs. This could be the start of a rivalry. You know, maybe last week's game, Herbert and Lawrence is a state of a rivalry that's going to happen for years to come. Of course, Burrow and Allen, we're going to see that, which I do believe these two quarterbacks are going to, you know, make some noise over the next few years in the NFL as well. This is very interesting, especially in the AFC side of things. But I think you really still want to be saving some players, saving the Chiefs players. We talked about a strategy last week where it was maybe roll out Burrow or Allen in the first round of your one and done lineup, take the other one in the second round, maybe roll with Mahomes in the third, and then you'll have an option in the fourth round in the Super Bowl, whether that's Purdy, whether that's Jalen Hurts or Dak Prescott. Maybe it's Daniel Jones. I don't know. I don't think so, but crazier things have happened in the NFL. That would be my strategy if you took that. I'm still going to carry it over. I'm looking at Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase this week. There's numerous tight ends in great spots. I want to save Kelsey. I want to save Kittle. I like Dalton Schultz this week. If you didn't use him last week, he popped off for you. The attention will be on CeeDee Lamb, maybe some soft coverage for Dalton Schultz, who's been really good with Dak Prescott over the past couple of years, and he was just unbelievable last week. So was Dak, by the way. Dallas Goedert is in a really good spot. The worst team in the NFL remaining, these eight teams, the worst one remaining against tight ends, the New York Giants. They struggle against tight ends, and all the focus really will be on, one, trying to stop the run game, which they couldn't do in Week 14 against the Eagles, and also Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. So we're going to see a lot of one-on-one coverage with Dallas Goedert, who is a big part of the Eagles' offense as well. And we've seen the Eagles' offense kind of struggle over the last few weeks. Of course, Hurts wasn't under center, but also Dallas Goedert missed a little bit of time as well. So we're going to dive into all of that stuff here on Mean Streets. George is hanging by. I can actually see. I'm in the back end here, and George is like this. He's like, man, you are putting me to sleep here off the top. Listen, we got something pretty cool on we wanted to share with you guys on this show. And from Dangle Batselli. 13 games on the ice tonight in the NHL. We tried to get the show in under an hour. We could not do it. But part of the reason why we couldn't do it is because we're giving away t-shirts over at Dangle Batselli. Take a look at this. Man, EY is just giving them away. He's saying, I'm going to give them to anybody who subscribes, rates, little five-star review, a little comment on iTunes. I've already seen a couple, you know, filter in. MeanStreetsFTN@gmail.com. At Chris Meany, at the Eric Young. The DMs are open. It's simple. We want to give you guys a shirt. Now, Eric is only going to be able to pick one of these shirts. So it's a bit of a voting process here. You're going to have to pick one, two, three, or four, your favorite of the four, and show us that you're subscribed to Dangle Batselli. Preferably on iTunes. iTunes helps us. The show kind of grows a little bit more and more eyes on the show. So if you are an iTunes supporter, I would start there. Rate, review, 5 stars, so EY doesn't freak out on you. You know, I mean, you get this guy in a ring, I mean, he'll mess. You don't want it, I'll tell you that. But 1, 2, 3, or 4. Look at those shirts, are PTP swag. Oh, baby. Daily handle in the house. So again, rate, review, subscribe, 5 stars, iTunes, screenshot, show us that you're subscribed to the show, and pick one of the four that you like. And we are going to pick one of the four, the most votes, of course. For me, my favorite is 1. I think we're the FTN fam. I think we all, Fox is hanging out and George hanging out behind the scenes. I'm pretty sure we all voted for 1. But I'm seeing on Twitter, there's a lot of support for 4 and 3. They're all very nice. I like them all, but we're going to pick 1 and we're going to give away the shirt to you guys just for reviewing, rating, review, subscribe over on iTunes. If you don't listen on iTunes, don't want to ask too much for you guys to like make an iTunes account. I saw a couple people do it, and that's fantastic, and we appreciate that. But if it's, you're just like a Spotify listener, or maybe you watch the show on our FTN Network YouTube page, or you watch over at Game Plus Network, you can hop on over to our FTN Network YouTube page. Just show us that you subscribe to our YouTube page for free. Again, screenshot that over meanstreetsftn@gmail.com, at Chris Meany or at the Eric Young, and away we go. Love it. Great stuff. Okay, football talk. We'll wrap up the show with some hockey talk. Shot props are, I've already seen a massive difference in price from this morning, talking to Eric through the 13 games to just like now, live with you guys here. So ftnbets.com/free, ftndaily.com/free. We're still running free 3-day trials over on both of our websites. You want the picks right away. You get all the picks across all sports, Discord channel, tools. If you're a DFS player, you got the optimizer there for you, PGA. Underway here today, NFL divisional round weekend, and NBA is hot and heavy all the time. I'm seeing a lot of green screens in our Discord channel. So check out those two websites, and for free, you can sign up and get those 3-day trials. And if you follow FTN alerts on the Twitter machine, you get notified right away when we make a bet. And of course, there's a perk to being a sub in the Discord channel. Most times we jump in there before we even make the pick and kind of give our thoughts and get ahead of, you know, the closing line value and get a little bit of value there. When it comes to props, picks, and sides. Brian Cook's in here next. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to bring him in. We're going to talk about these 4 games. I also want to preview something that him and I are doing on our FTN Network YouTube page tonight as well. So keep her locked. A lot of football talk in here next. Welcome back in. Brian Cook, 5_4_6. 2 eyes, looking fresh, feeling good, ready to rock. Divisional round getting underway here in just 2 days. Welcome in. How are you, man?
I am doing fantastic. How are you?
Also doing fantastic, a little bit better now. You ready to rock tonight? You and I and Jeremy are going to get together, and we are going to start what will be a 4-part series with basically breaking down all the top prospects in the NFL. Mike Tallis in the house. What's going on? And we're going to start with quarterbacks. And it's a pretty good quarterback class, as you and I chatted last week, with the Bears having the first overall pick. And I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about potential landing spots as well. But I know you're ready to go over there tonight.
Yeah, so ready. We got notes in there. I put my notes in there at least. It's a lot of stuff in there, and I know Mike just hopped on. I just wanted to take a second and give him a shout out because he's doing excellent work, helping and kind of managing, like we're all kind of managing our data team, and he's great. He's great at what he does, so I want to give him a shout out for sure. Appreciate it.
Mike is fantastic, and he's a big supporter of our FTN work, and we're big fans of him and all the work that you and Mike, and as well as the rest of the FTN data team, has done this season, right? And the work never stops. Football never stops, man. Like, it's playoffs, it's draft, it's free agency, and all of a sudden, like, training camps open up and you get going again, right? It's craziness, and I know you're really in tune with all of it. Can you give a little bit of a sneak peek? What's your favorite quarter? Who's your favorite quarterback in the class? Because I'm starting to see, like, the odds show Bryce Young is a favorite, but it's not significant for him to be the first quarterback off the board. It's not like it's -200 to -300. It doesn't seem to be a lock anyways, because the Bears are a super wild card with what they're going to do, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, I think my favorite quarterback is Bryce Young off the board. I think, in my opinion, I think right now he's the best prospect despite the situation. I mean, every quarterback wants to go into a decent situation, right? But I think despite the situation, I think he has the ability to succeed the fastest. And I also think he has one of the higher ceilings of the class. So that's my favorite prospect, but I definitely do believe that there's a couple other players that may have slightly higher ceilings. And, you know, it could be very interesting prospects come down the line here. So it is going to be cool to see what happens.
It will be. So the odds are over at DraftKings is for the number one pick. So that's why I think they're, you know, the Bears, as we mentioned last week, are they're a wild card, right? I mean, they could take Bryce Young. They could trade out of that pick. We could see the Colts move up. They could take a defensive player. They could say screw it and take a defensive player. And, you know, Bryce Young is not the first overall pick, and then the Texans will have that choice at number two. But he's minus 130, according to DraftKings, to be the first pick. C.J. Stroud at plus 175. Then Will Anderson at plus 650 with Jalen Carter also at plus 650, right? So some options. The Bears are on the clock and they get some time to think about it. But before we get there, let's get into the divisional round. And let's actually start with the way the games are going to come at you. Saturday afternoon, Arrowhead, Kansas City at home, 8.5-point favorites here. We have a total that has jumped. It's actually moved around quite a bit. I saw 51 when it first opened, which I liked. And if you can still get, by all means, but I don't think you can. There's some 52s. There's a 53 over at DraftKings. Prop Shop is your friend. Parlay Calculator, also your friend to get the best possible odds. Both tools free over at ftnbets.com. Before I throw it over to you and get your thoughts on this game, I want to get your thoughts on what you saw last week with the Chargers and the Jags. Unbelievable. Yeah. And at any moment, did you think that Jacksonville was out of it, knowing the way that the Chargers organization has gone through the highs and mostly lows over the last 20 years?
You know what? I'm not going to speak on the Chargers in terms of of what they've been against in the past. Yeah. I want to speak on the positives, which is Jacksonville. Okay. I do think that seeing what they've done these last 9 weeks has been incredible. I really think Doug Peterson, in my opinion, is coach of the year. I know the Giants are doing great stuff, but Doug Peterson's my coach of the year. I don't see how you could go any other way with what he's doing. And really, I never thought they were out of it. And the reason really is why is because they've faced so much adversity this year, and they've risen through it. And I think that Trevor Lawrence showcased his ability to not only be a tough quarterback in terms of physically, right, and be able to make all those throws, but he's also showcased that he's tough mentally. He has a quick memory. He moves on to the next play. And while he stunk it up the first half, that whole second half, it's all him. I mean, and obviously he's been stepping up too and making some great adjustments and plays. But Trevor Lawrence, I mean, I can't say enough about how great of a quarterback this guy is and how great and how bright of a future this guy is going to have. The Jacksonville Jaguars will be a definite player from this point forward for the next however many years Trevor Lawrence is there, honestly. Like that, they got to figure out how long they want to keep him and if they can keep him forever, because they're serious players. They really are. And I mean, I've liked them against Kansas City. Now, do I think they'll finish against Kansas City? That's for us to find out. But I do like their chances too, still.
So the coaching, I agree with you on Peterson. I think Daboll will get it. But, man, Peterson should be right there, shouldn't he? I mean, this Jags team was the worst team offensively in the NFL last year.
Yeah.
The turnaround that we've seen from the Jags offensive, of course, they brought in some pieces, right? Everyone laughed about Christian Kirk's contract and Evan Ingram, but that turned out to be pretty good deals, right? And then you're going to add Calvin Ridley to this squad next year as well. But what Doug Peterson was able to do with this team, and you see the confidence that everybody, including Trevor Lawrence, has. And when you just look at the two coaches, I mean, Andy Reid is 28-5 after a bye, right? Mm-hmm. Including playoffs. Mm-hmm. You go back to his Philly days as well. He's had some time to prepare. This game's going to be at home. It's going to be a tough spot for Jacksonville. And then you also look at maybe Doug Peterson. I mean, he's not too far removed from winning a Super Bowl, having to deal with some adversity of having Carson Wentz and was potentially on an MVP-like season. I mean, he even got votes to win the MVP despite not finishing the last few games of the season. Then bringing in Nick Foles and going on that run as underdogs and being an underdog even last week at home as well. I thought he was very aggressive with his play calling, like he usually is. That fourth and one to Travis Etienne, my goodness, like credit, stones, check, check, check. And then also the 2-point conversion where Trevor Lawrence was like Michael Jordan on Space Jam and just reached across the line. And that turned out to be kind of the difference.
Yeah,
really. And Bosa having the freak out, they moved up a little bit. They were able to go for two instead of one. They kick a game-winning field goal instead of a game-tying field goal. But we got to give the advantage to Andy Reid, right?
Absolutely.
But despite that, Doug Peterson is very aware of Andy Reid. He's been with him for about 8 or 9 years.
Yeah.
He's a player in Green Bay when Andy Reid was part of like coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
Philly connection, KC connection on the coaching staff there as well. So he is very well of some of the tricks that Andy Reid is going to throw at him. And he's going to try to throw a couple tricks his way as well. But this does seem like a little bit of a lopsided affair. Like, it's good story in Jacksonville, but I think KC has the potential really to kind of blow the doors off here.
I'm telling you, I'm not buying this spread, this -8.5. I'm really not. Don't get me wrong. Like, the Chiefs will come out and play hard and strong and be the mighty Chiefs, right? But they did struggle against Houston, for what it's worth. They struggled against Houston, and they've struggled in some games as of late. Like, they've had some lulls. Patrick Mahomes, even though he is playing at an MVP level, has had some lulls. And the story of this game, in my opinion, is going to come down to turning the ball over.
Yeah.
Who's going to have the most turnovers? Who's going to have the least turnovers? Pat Mahomes goes out, throws two picks, throws three picks. I don't care how many touchdowns he has. This game is going to be close, and they're going to have a chance to lose it. But if he can keep the ball protected, which, you know, I'm sure he's going to be working super hard this week to protect the ball, then I really don't see Jacksonville having much of a chance. That they're going to have to play a perfect game of football.
Perfect game.
Yeah. If they are able to create turnovers like they have been in the past, and maybe even score off one or two of them, you know, then it's anybody's game, in my opinion.
The thing is you're right, and it seems very simple to say. Like, we're not breaking any news. Don't turn the ball over, and you're going to win the game. But the other side, Jacksonville didn't. The Chargers didn't turn the ball over last week, but they weren't able to find a way to win the game.
Yeah.
It's just KC will score points.
Not
on every drive, but they're going to score points. So you're not going to be able to get too far behind. These two teams met earlier in the season. Patrick Mahomes had 4 passing touchdowns. He was able to carve up the secondary. I think he's going to have his way as well. We gave yesterday on the show Travis Kelce over 76.5. It's changed now. I'm seeing 81, 82 in some spots. I still like him quite a bit, you know, from a prop standpoint. The Jaguars have allowed the third most yards to tight ends and 13.1 yards per reception to tight ends, which is also the third highest as well. If you're doing some one and done stuff, I don't know how familiar you are with one and done fantasy football, but it's basically throughout the playoffs, you create your own fantasy football lineup,
mm-hmm.
and you can only play them once.
Ooh.
So I think this is you probably want to get involved with some Jags, right? Last week we gave Travis Etienne on the show, but maybe a Christian Kirk or an Evan Ingram.
Yeah, Evan Ingram.
I don't think you need to do Trevor Lawrence, but right, we feel like Casey's going to win. I kind of have a lean to Jacksonville maybe covering the 8.5. It's a huge spread.
Yeah.
We could see a backdoor. I think Jacksonville has enough firepower to keep up. But I would imagine, Brian, like Kirk and Evan Ingram, these guys are going to be – even Zay Jones. Like, these guys are going to get some targets this week because
Absolutely. They
didn't really run the ball last week on a team where you could run on them. So, and you're probably going to see Trevor Lawrence drop back maybe 40 times in this game, right? Who do you have a preference of which Jag you like the most maybe this week? Would it be Kirk or Evan Ingram?
Yeah, I always am going to lean Evan Ingram. I think that he is his favorite target. He's Lawrence's favorite target. To your point about the dropbacks, I think last week was kind of a weird one because he kind of had to, right? You can't really run the ball.
He did.
You know, I do think that they'll lean a little bit more on it this week. But I think they have to. Yeah. With that being said, not too much. But I think that Travis Etienne, another way that they have the best chance of winning is they have to find ways to get that man the ball. He's dynamic. You know, Evan Ingram and him should be touching the ball the most. I love Christian Kirk. I think he's more of just a reliable guy right now for Trevor Lawrence. Just, hey, like, we need something. Just go get the first down, get to the sticks, get the first down, right? We're in a pinch, get him the ball so we can get the first, or, you know, maybe he's in the end zone. But the guys that are going to break this game open for Jacksonville offensively are Evan Ingram and Travis Etienne, in my opinion.
Kadarius Toney's plus 240 for a touchdown. We're starting
to
see him really kind of get his groove. Your boy, a former Gator, right? I mean, just man, some of the runs that he had the last time we saw him, right, in the red zone, they do these things in the red zone, the Chiefs. They're so phenomenal. Again, that's Andy mm-hmm. Reid. There's so many different ways, whether it's a little shovel pass to Jerick McKinnon or a tight end after Travis Kelce we've seen multiple times this season. And mm-hmm. then you start seeing Kadarius Toney get these carries inside the red zone, and mm-hmm. He's like so the agility is off the charts with him. And also Mecole Hardman was in a bit of a run as well, getting these end arounds and short little bubble screens mm-hmm. inside the red zone, and he was converting them. So I would save a lot of the Chiefs if you can in your one and done. Maybe you roll them out next week in a potential shootout with the Bills or the Bengals, or maybe you save them again. But I would get involved with some Jags. Give us a score prediction. Buy stock says Jags plus 14 and Cincy plus 10, two game tees. I don't mind where your head's at there, buy stocks, but I kind of like the other way of maybe teasing down Kansas City to win by a field goal. But I think it's, for me, it's a little safer for Kansas City to win by a field goal and not have the Jags get blown out there, but we'll see what happens. Oh, wow. NBA rigged in the house. Good morning, Chris. Glad to see you on this beautiful Thursday. Hey, we love comments like that. Are you kidding me? Good morning. I'd like to hear more about the NBA being rigged. Maybe another day. Patrick Ewing, is that it? The draft, he's rigged for years. Give us a prediction, a score, and your stud player in this game. Your stud player.
For both sides or just in general?
Yeah, give me both sides, sure. Both sides, okay. Stud player, but a score prediction too.
I'm going to go 34-31 Kansas City. Ooh. Yeah, I think it's gonna get up there. 30-plus for both. Stud for the Jacksonville Jaguars will be a combination of Evan Ingram and Trevor Lawrence. I think it's kind of one and one, right? They have gotcha. To kind of be together to you know. And for the Chiefs, I think I'm going to probably lean – let's go Kadarius Toney. Yeah, let's go Kadarius Toney today. I know we mentioned earlier when we talked, I said, you know, just give it some time towards the end of the season. You'll start to see him show up a little bit more. And sure enough, you know, these last 3-4 weeks, he has shown up more. They finally implemented him, which I thought they would. It takes some time to implement somebody like that who's got injuries, some off the field issues, like some other things, and also has to learn the playbook. But they realize how dynamic he is. Why the heck not? You know, why are we not giving him the ball, right?
Yeah, could be a real nice player next year as Juju is an unrestricted free agent if they bring back Juju or not. Maybe we mm-hmm. see, you know, Sky Moore. Certainly, I'd buy low in Dynasty Leagues and Sky Moore and Kadarius if you can. But I know the price. People love them some Kadarius Toney, both of us included. He's mm-hmm. probably pretty hard to get in a Dynasty League. I got 34-21, which does get us over the total. You cruise past the total. That's like 53 with like 60 some odd points. But I do believe this will be a really fun game. And I like where you're at by stocks too, as we get out of here on this game. Says, yeah, it could go that way. He loves the points because of the old, just the way the Jags were down 17 and cut it to 10. My one thing with Peterson last week was just, I thought they should have ran the ball in the first half a little bit more. Yeah. Just like every time ETN got a carry, it seemed like he was getting 5 yards against that leaky run defense. Mm-hmm. And the Chargers were all over those short, immediate throws. And I thought he put Lawrence in a bit of a tough spot, but he stuck to his game plan in the second half. They still ran the ball, having him drop back a ton. They still got some runs in there to mix it up. Mm-hmm. But man, it was really fun to watch Trevor Lawrence. I felt bad for him in the first half, but the way that sometimes like, that can just really rattle you, man, as a quarterback. Yeah. Like all those picks, it was like flirting with Nathan Peterman with the five picks there.
One thing too that I noticed in the first half that was going on that wasn't happening in the second half as much is the pressure changed that the Chargers were bringing and getting home with. There was a lot of pressure on Trevor Lawrence in that first half. They were getting rushing three, rushing four, and getting there a lot, or disrupting his decision-making process. And that'll be another big key this week. Kansas City, for what it's worth, has never this year until like late in the season hasn't had a crazy great pass rush, but everybody starts to come in their own towards the middle to end of the season. Usually that's how that works with them. And right now their front is playing some of the best football it's played. So if Jacksonville can't block those guys, it's going to be a long one. It's going to be a really long one.
And the Chiefs have given up the most passing touchdowns too. I mean, part of that is them being up so much, right? And teams having to chuck on them. There was a question here, actually. Maybe we'll get to this and we'll stop with this game. Yeah, appreciate you guys bringing this up. Chris and Brian from NBA Rigged.
Yeah.
It's a football question, though. How would you guys grade the Jags D last week? They shut down Herbert's second half. How do they accomplish that? Where would you rank their D among the rest of the eight teams? Their D is actually pretty opportunistic, really. Yeah. I mean, they've made some, I mean, the start of the season, they were creating a lot of turnovers. And over the last few weeks, they've created a lot of turnovers as well. You know, if you look at NFL Gen stats, you know, you can see just the throws that Herbert had, and he didn't stretch the field, but they were missing their field stretcher, man. They were missing Mike Williams, and I'm shocked Staley's keeping his job. They fired their quarterback coach. They fired the offensive coordinator. Staley looks like he's going to stay for another go, but it was really tough for me to judge Herbert in that game because it was just short, quick throws. It was basically like just Keenan, a little bit of Gerald Everett. He didn't try to stretch the field at all, but to answer the question, what do you see from the Jags D that you like? And I mean, they've been really good against the run, but they've struggled against the pass. And where would you rank them among the rest of the eight squads?
Yeah, looking at my slate here, I mean, easy, you have to go San Francisco first, probably Philly and Dallas somewhere. I think those are kind of interchangeable. And then I would say Cincinnati and Buffalo next. I really think Cincinnati's defense is the next best one. I'd honestly say I think their defense is a little bit better than Kansas City's. From the standpoint of creating turnovers, from the standpoint of, you know, when their front seven comes to play, I think that it's just as good as Kansas City's. From a defensive back standpoint, I would say Kansas City does have the edge, but I also don't think they create as many turnovers. So it's one of those things where I want to give the slight nod to Jacksonville. And in terms of your question for last week, what did I see from Jacksonville's defense? How did they stifle Justin Herbert? I wouldn't even say it was so much of them stifling them. Like, they shut down their run, which essentially is what was going to win them that game. They shut down Austin Eckler. And it kind of just forced the Chargers to call plays that I feel like they didn't really want to call in those situations. I mean, they got the ball back a lot because they were passing the ball when they really should have probably been trying to continue to run the ball. And I'm not the coach. I can't make those calls, and I don't, you know, I'm just an outside viewer, but I would say it's more of the Chargers pigeonholing themselves rather than the Jacksonville defense being, you know, the team, like that amazing defense, right? They did play well. Obviously it means something, but they just you got to be better down the stretch offensively. You just have to, especially when you're up that much.
Yeah, I mean, Staley, right? They didn't run the football in the second half, and I don't understand why they didn't up the few scores. But we're going to move on from this game. I know NBA Rigged, you talked about player props. If you want to check in tomorrow, we're going to hammer home a few player props. I would look at Christian Kirk. I like the over his 64.5 receiving yards and 5.5 grabs, and I'd like Travis Etienne as well. Over 2.5 catches is juice. It's around -148, but you can do it maybe in a same-game parlay. The catches in the receiving yards, it would correlate really well. If he gets 3 grabs, I think he'll go over 17.5 receiving yards. A shout out to the prop shop. I see that Caesars is hanging 17.5 -110. A lot of other books have 19.5, 20.5, one at 21.5. So Caesars and DK and BetMGM all have 17.5 different prices, but prop shop's your friend. You can save some time. We'll move on from the game. I do want to say that Mahomes is 9-1 as a member of the Chiefs after a bye, and his team's averaging 30 points. So I'd have a hard time believing that they won't get to 30 themselves. We could have some fireworks with the Kansas City Chiefs, but it should be a good learning curve for Trevor Lawrence at Arrowhead against this Chiefs team. We're going to break, and we're going to take a look at the Bills and the Bengals. We have at least 3 more segments here with Brian. I'm not sure if he was aware of that, but he knows. Two thumbs up.
I'm all for it.
Maybe the rest of the... We're going to preview the rest of the games. Bills and Bengals in here next. Keep it locked. All right, we went super long on Jags and Chiefs, so we're going to have to – these next 3 games are going to have to be like 4 minutes, but we'll get through it. So we'll stick inside the AFC. This is not the order of the game. Saturday night is Philly and the Giants. We'll save that one. We'll go to Buffalo and Cincy as we kind of tease here. So 5, I've seen some 5.5s. It opened up at 4. There's been a little bit of line movement here. The Bills are favored, and the over-under is at 50 right now. So I just want to talk to you first here off the top about the Bengals, right? this is a team that really, for the most part, has had their offensive line intact all year. But now over the last 3 weeks, they've suffered injuries to three guys. Yeah. Jonah Williams, dislocated kneecap. He suffered the same injury in week 5 against Baltimore, and he didn't miss any snaps. He just slapped his knee brace on. I don't know if he can do this again, but it's kind of been beaten to death since Burrow has been in the league about the offensive line at Cincinnati. It's certainly the key. I mean, if you don't believe me, the Bengals are 0-3 this year when Burrow gets sacked 5 or more times, but 13-1 when he's sacked fewer than 5 times. Last week, he was sacked 4 times, which was more than he was sacked in any game during the 8-game winning streak that the Bengals had heading into the playoffs. But you got a Bills team here without Von Miller that can't really create a lot of pressure bringing 4. So it'll be an interesting mixed matchup. Like, do they get pressure? Can they keep Burrow upright? And Burrow he's really good against the blitz. He's very accurate. I say he's the quarterback that I would like to have in the fourth quarter if this game is tight, because I think he's a better decision maker. And I'm not taking shots at Josh Allen. Sometimes I feel like he does play a little hero ball, but last week we saw 3 turnovers. Now, including the playoffs, he's got 16 turnovers. That's picks and like fumbles. It's the most in the NFL. He's lost 6 fumbles. This is going to be an emotional game, right? For both teams. We could see DeMar Hamlin be there at the start of the game. This is the game we've all wanted to see. We're so happy that Hamlin is healthy and he looks like he's trending in the right direction. That's fantastic. But this, man, this has fireworks written all over it. And I love to hear what side you're on, because I don't know actually which way I'm leaning right now. Talk me into a squad.
Thank you. Appreciate that. That's
awesome. We love it. I wanted to share his comment a little bit later on about Ewing. Maybe we get to that after this one.
Go ahead. That's funny. But I'm a Cincinnati guy, man. I'm not from Cincinnati, but I'm saying I am.
Very You're a backer. Good. You're a supporter.
I am a supporter because I really love what they've done. And I tell people this all the time. I really think that they are the team this year. I do. They'll at least get to the Super Bowl. I don't know if they're going to win it. Depends on who they play. But I really think that they kind of can withstand anything. I think Buffalo, to me, they're just trending downward a little bit. Josh Allen.
And they were sloppy last week, weren't they?
They were. And I know it's a division rival, right? And, it's one of those deals like that happens. But with that being said, I just think Josh Allen's play as of late hasn't been very encouraging. It hasn't been terrible or anything like that. I mean, he's still one of the best quarterbacks in the league, but it's not encouraging by any means. And defensively, the fact that they weren't able to really stop Miami as much as they needed to with the third string quarterback is kind of concerning. It really is. Whether you have Tyreek Hill or not, that's a third string quarterback. It's clear Skylar Thompson isn't really starting caliber quarterback. Like, he's not.
Yeah, let's be honest.
He's a backup, right?
Yeah.
And not a high-end backup either. So
no,
it's one of those things where it's like you would expect more without Von Miller. Still, you would expect more from that defense. And I just think that they have the better group of receivers in Cincinnati. Their defense is stout. They're playing at an unreal level. DJ Reader is baby Aaron Donald. I mean, he looks tremendous. He's looked tremendous all year. I just don't see how Cincinnati can be stopped, man. I don't think anybody's stopping Cincinnati this year.
You know, the Bengals, it's very similar to last year, right? A lot of people were kind of counting them out, and then they went on a run, and even Joe Burrow wasn't super fantastic last season, you know, in terms of touchdowns and throwing them. And in the playoffs, I mean, he's getting W's, and he hasn't had like the same sort of offensive firepower as maybe Josh Allen on the other side. You mentioned the divisional stuff, and I think it's key to bring this up because the Bengals didn't look great either last week, but the Ravens they're a tougher opponent defensively, and I think they're better coached as Miami, right? I mean, Mike McDaniels, he has some rookie curves there that he needs to get over, some mistakes, but I got some numbers here for Burrow against AFC North teams this year, 4-3, 13 touchdowns, 9 picks. Against outside of the division, 23 touchdowns, just 3 picks. Same thing with Josh Allen. Josh Allen against the AFC East teams, like 15-5, like, so great touchdown interception, kind of like touchdown interception, but outside of the division, 23 touchdowns. Still some picks in there, but seems to be his numbers seems to be a little bit better outside of that division. So yeah. I think you just kind of chalk it up to both teams. you know, seeing an opponent for the third time, mm-hmm. not a lot of surprises, defenses knowing, you know, what the tendencies of some of these offenses are. And I think this one was just going to be straight out shootout. I think the Bills escaped. I think they escaped maybe high, like maybe just last week, 2 weeks ago is too much for them. It was very emotional with Hamlin, had the return touchdown, and maybe just a little bit of a letdown against a division rival. I think the Bills squeak this one out, but I'm taking the points with Cincy. Like five is too much. I think whoever has the ball last in this game is going to win, whether that's a turnover created or a game-winning touchdown or a game-winning field goal. I think this will be a field goal game, and I think it's going to be the best game this weekend.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is going to be a very, very awesome game. And I just, like I said, man, Cincinnati is –
Predict same thing. Prediction and stars, and we'll get out of here. On
Yeah. Prediction. I'm going to go 31. Nah, let's go 35-31. I'm going to go Bengals. Last second drive. I think that's how it'll end. Something along those lines. I really believe in Joe Burrow. I think the star for the Bengals. And I actually think the star for the Bengals is probably going to be T. Higgins. I really think T. Higgins will be the difference. I think he'll come out playing inspired, especially after the things that happened the last time they met. And I think that they'll get him involved. I just think they're going to take away Jamar Chase as much as they can. So T. Higgins is going to have to be the next guy.
One thing with Burrow, it was really early in that game, but man, he was carving them up. He was carving them up. I know it was really early, but I think he was perfect on the drive. He had a touchdown and he was marching up the field as well. I got 34-31 for Buffalo, and I think it'll be a last second drive there as well. We're going to break, and we're running low on time, but we got to do the rest of the two games. So we'll be back in a couple. Hang tight. Welcome back in. Eagles and Giants. I don't really have a lot to say. People have been listening to me all week talk about it. I haven't been a homer with this pick. I think the Giants cover, man. 7.5 you can get. I think the Giants are going to hang. What we just talked about in the last block. What did we talk about? We talked about divisional games, right? The third time, you know, seeing an opponent. And Brian Daboll, what he has done as a head coach. What I will say to you is that Daniel Jones had a great game. And people are, like, really giving Daniel Jones some credit. And they should. But let's be honest about the Vikings defense. They allowed the most yards per pass attempt. They have been torched all year in the secondary. The Eagles have the number one pass DVOA, according to Football Outsiders. They allow the fewest yards per pass attempt. They can dominate the line of scrimmage. I think we'll see a little bit of a different game plan where maybe more Saquon rushing attempts and not so many Daniel Jones dropbacks. I mean, Daniel Jones has been held under 220 passing yards in 13 games this season. Three games of 300 passing yards. Two of them came against the Vikings. He absolutely torched that secondary. But I do have some concerns. Jalen Hurts has played once in 5 weeks. The game that he played was against the Giants. They rested everybody, and he didn't look that great. There is some rust. He's completely off the injury report. I just got this weird feeling, man. And a few weeks ago, you were in on this Giants team. You said that they would make the playoffs. You were a believer in Daboll. You were a believer in this squad. Are you a believer this week? Can they pull off the upset?
I hate to burst your bubble.
He's doing it. He's doing it.
I hate to burst it, but Giants are hot, dude. I mean, I really believe they're playing inspired football, man. I don't think people realize how, like, X's and O's absolutely rule the day in football, but very much motivation and attitude and all those other little things, like, they make the difference, especially when games are close. Like, you know, like the Giants – to have Daniel Jones playing at an unreal level. Brian Daboll has got that team so confident in what they do. I mean, did you hear Dexter Lawrence mic'd up this week? He's that guy. Is like, they're playing different. It's just a different feeling in that locker room. And the Eagles, man, I do like Philly, but
what's your concerns? The way that they limped into the playoffs, the way the offense looked, and maybe the health of Hurts.
Yeah, I think that those are all legitimate concerns. They have some concerns on the defensive side of the ball as well with Avante Maddox. And I can't say he's better than Darius Slay, but
he's been great for them.
Yeah, he's a great player for them in that slot spot. The problem with the Giants is they don't have all of the receivers that can counteract that. But, you know, if they establish a run, you know, that's going to open that up. For them to pass that ball. So Daniel Jones will be the key in this one. If he can play consistent football, not turn it over, get some things going on the ground, I think that this opens this game right up. And I really do believe in the Giants. If Brian Daboll wins this game, he is the coach of the year for sure. He is for sure the coach of the year.
Yeah. I mean, again, I go with the Eagles are a better football team. I mean, they're better at them in all facets. Secondary, they're going to dominate the line of scrimmage. They get the better quarterback. Like, let's be honest. But but the Giants are coming in here, feeling themselves with Brian Daboll, playing with house money. You know, I think if there's a struggle in offense early from the Eagles, that's where we could see maybe the Giants, you know, get ahead in the game, and maybe that's where we get that spread. I'm there on the 7.5, but ultimately I think that Jones will struggle. I mean, he struggled in that matchup against Philly earlier in the year. He was 18 for 27, 169 yards, 66% completion rate. And it does sound like Lane Johnson is going to be back. And dude, he's key. He's allowed 9 pressures all year, and Driscoll filling in for him allowed 6 pressures in the 2 games. So I think he's a big part. The reason I feel like Philly will win this game, and why I think the under is the play, and maybe to go with the Giants, because I think both teams will run. The recipe to beat the Eagles we've seen before, Washington go in there, run the football, slow the clock down, get in manageable situations in third and short. And on the other side, the Giants can't stop the run. Second worst in terms of yards per carry allowed. And the Eagles had 254 rushing yards against them when they played earlier in the year. Tough. So, you know, I don't know if there would be a lot of run designs for Hurts with the shoulder, and there weren't when these teams played in Week 18, but 254 rushing yards on 31 carries and almost 450 total yards of offense, that's where I think the game will be run, one on the ground with the Eagles. Prediction?
Yeah. Stud. Yeah, Giants 21, Eagles 14.
Oh, my goodness. 14 points for this Philly squad. Holy crap, you're
killing me. I think Wink Martindale's got something cooking. I do. I really think Wink's got something cooking. I don't want to burst your bubble, but I think he's got something cooking.
Okay, burst it. You already bursted it. 8 points against them in week 14, only scoring 14 this week. Odoree Jackson, Xavier McKinney, and Leonard Williams did not play in that week 14 match.
I was also going to say, Odoree Jackson's playing. He's quietly been one of the best corners in football for the last 2 years now. He's been like a top 10, top 12 corner in football the last 2 years. You're going to see a lot of Dory Jackson this week.
Yeah.
You will see a lot of
And Leonard Williams. One of the best nose tackles, I think, in the game. So, he's going to be an issue as well. All right. One more break. One more segment here from Brian. Niners and Cowboys, maybe the toughest one to call this weekend. We'll be back in a couple. All right, Brian. Unfortunately, we just went so long on KC and Jacksonville. We don't really have a lot of time to get into it. I'll throw to you. Number one and number two in terms of DVOA defense, according to Football Outsiders, this matchup, 49ers at home, seeing -3.5 actually in some spots. So we're seeing some people maybe get involved with the Cowboys here. Man, Dak looked fantastic last week. My goodness. I don't know if that was on Tampa or got to give a little bit of credit, of course, to Dak Prescott and company, and Schultz ate up the Buccaneers. But this matchup, what you got for us? Who's going to play the Giants in the NFC Conference Championship game?
Yeah, I'm going to go Dallas. I'm going to go Dallas. And this is a tough call because San Francisco is playing so well. I just think that Dallas's defense has the edge against Brock Purdy. I really do think there's something like – it's something to be said what Dan Quinn has been doing up front. If they can block it, all power to them from San Francisco. But that secondary is also very, very good. And I think that some of those plays that Brock Purdy's been making aren't going to be as easy for him to make this time with a little more pressure in his face. He hasn't seen a pass rush like this, really. He really hasn't seen a pass rush this good. This is a very good pass
chance. Chance he has. Like, let's be honest about Purdy. It's a nice story. I mean, Kyle Shanahan's putting him into a situation to succeed. The Niners lead the NFL in yards after the catch, right? They have so many explosive players. Debo is back. Kittle's been a beast. And then Brandon Ayuk and Christian McCaffrey, right? I mean, this guy's like a walking 100-yard machine, whether it's on the ground or total yards, right? His rushing and receiving props, 105.5. Give me the over. You know what I mean? Like, this guy's going to play 75% of the snaps, and he's going to touch the ball nonstop. But look at the teams that Purdy's played. I mean, Miami, Tampa, we know about Tampa now, right? It's not the same team, not even close to the same team that won the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. Seattle, Washington, Las Vegas, Arizona, and Seattle again. So, like, these are not great defenses that he's faced. And now he's going to face what we just talked about, the number two defense, according to Football Outsiders. All right, so you got the Cowboys in a tight game, field goal game. What do you got for a prediction?
I actually think the Cowboys are going to put up 28 points. I say 28 points.
Wow.
Yeah, I think they're going to hit 28. They're going to need to. And I think that it'll be like a 28-17 type of game, something like that. I really think Brock Purdy is going to mess up a couple times. And it's going to be the difference. The difference in this game is going to be he's going to turn the ball over and they're going to get great field position off of the turnovers. And they'll get points off of that in general. You know what I mean? So
I like the over despite both defenses being as strong as they are. We know that both offenses can bring it as well, right? So, I mean, these have been the two highest scoring teams since week seven. What happened in week seven? Niners got CMC and Dak returned to the lineup for Dallas, right? Those teams have been killing it offensively since the midway point. Appreciate your time, dude. I will only disagree with the Giants call, but I like the Giants to cover. I like the Cowboys to cover here too. I think it's a field goal game. Stop it. I'm already worried enough. The bubble's been bursted. You like the Bengals. We touched on it last week. We'll get you in here again next week and we'll preview the conference championship games. We're going to say goodbye to Mr. Cook for now. And I got some NHL props to round up the show. We'll see you tonight, dude.
Sounds good.
Back here in a couple. Hang tight. Back in 13 games on the ice tonight in the NHL. Going to lead here with Patrick Laine of the Columbus Blue Jackets taking the over 3.5 shots. This isn't the same price we got Laine the last time he played. Was plus 138 for Patrick Laine, minus 125. Earlier, we had minus 105 over at Bet Rivers, but this is the best possible odds I'm seeing now over at DraftKings. I'd take anything over minus 135 or so. And if it gets any crazier than that, maybe you got to put him into a parlay. 19 shots on goal over his last three games. That doesn't even include a nine-shot game a couple weeks ago that Laine had against Washington. His last game, he had 10 shots. He's got 46 shot attempts over his last five games. That's 9.2 shot attempts per game. A span since January 8th, not a large sample size, only five games, but only Elias Pettersson, Roman Josi, and Alex Ovechkin have more shot attempts than Patrick Laine over the last 2 weeks. Can he go over 4.5? My goodness. I suppose he can, right? I mean, I like the 3.5. Plus money. You're asking for a deal handle, but I think he could get over 4.5 just because he's had a 10 and a 9. Also, when you include the matchup, the Ducks have allowed the most shot attempts, the most shots, most high danger chances and scoring chances at 5-5 per 60 over the last 6 weeks of the season. That from our friends over at Natural Stat Trick. So over 3.5, if you can, maybe like half a unit on the 4.5 of plus money there, daily handle. A couple other shot props here on the way out. A lot juice. So Jenner and Hayes, Boone Jenner and that inside the same matchup against the Ducks, Kevin Hayes, Travis Konechny, good spots against Chicago, Philip Forsberg, great spot. Those four guys are juice, so putting them into a parlay. Seth Jones is plus money. He's been shooting consistently, playing a lot, 25, 26 minutes a night. I also like Max Domi at 1.5 shots as well. It should be maybe a fun fantasy game between Chicago and Philadelphia. A shout out to Scott Lawton for a point tonight. Carter Verhaeghe scores against the Canadians. I like the over 2.5 shots. I also like Sam Bennett and a 2-point night for Alexander Barkov. And then Connor McDavid sipping the pina colada. I've got Vander Kane back in the lineup. He's been basically automatic over 3.5 shots against the Lightning, minus 114. George making things look so special all the time. Appreciate George Fox hanging out with us in the background as well, and everybody hanging out with us on the show. I didn't really get into one and done, Kyle Woods. I will give you a lineup tomorrow. Dangle Bancelli, subscribe, t-shirt coming your way. Have a good one.